Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to the Raw Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dadley Boys, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture. To look ahead to tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review Monday Night Raw, but also SmackDown, NXT 2.0, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Sidgwick to look ahead to Monday Night Raw tonight. Is this the season premiere of Raw, then?
Jesus Christ, I don't know. The draft would indicate a new thing. That doesn't happen until after Crown Jewel. So we'll say the season premiere is the Raw after Crown Jewel.
Okay, fair enough.
If they insist on making it a bollocks thing.
Raw's been really good in recent weeks, I thought.
It's an automatically bad show, so that would be impossible.
And tonight we've got a selection of some very good matches. Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair teaming together against Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair. Some King of the Ring stuff from Queen's Crowns tournament. I just call it Queen of the Ring for piss' sake.
For the sake of a podcast, can you not just give us that?
But we're going to begin with the WWE champion, of course, Big... Let's go face-to-face with Drew McIntyre ahead of defending his title against Drew at Crown Jewel. I sense this is going to be rinse and repeat of what happened last week, which is they'll go face-to-face and then two generic jobbers are going to come out and say, I don't think you two can get along. Thoughts?
Yeah, we'll probably get some kind of impromptu match stemming from this. The one last week was actually all right. Everyone worked hard. Well, they all work hard for knee reason. Who remembers that match last week? Will anyone ever remember that match last week? Babyface versus babyface builds are tricky, particularly since in this case one would expect Drew McIntyre versus Roman Reigns to be a big overlong winter program. The idea being that Drew will play the babyface who Roman beats repeatedly through nefarious means before The Rock comes in. Yeah, I'm being very cynical about this, but I don't think I can be blamed if you've got a brain in your head. Therefore, if they're not turning Drew, and they're certainly not going to turn Big E, otherwise they're even stupider than I thought possible, I expect, yeah, as he said, like, can they coexist? It's not the first time I'm going to say that on this podcast today as well. Can Big E and Drew McIntyre coexist? My initial feelings?
Hang on, I'll check.
No, dear, that's wrong.
Yeah, I can do it. I'm bored. But we'll see. Look, if anyone's going to play situational heel here, it would probably be Drew McIntyre.
Yeah. And if they've got any brain in their head, WWE, they will have seen, we referenced this earlier on the...
No, dear, that's wrong.
We referenced this earlier on the SmackDown review. They will have seen the fact they got Big E out of everyone, anyone and everyone they could have got to do this. I mean, I remember watching the Super Bowl years ago, a couple of years ago maybe this year, I don't know, time has no meaning. And The Rock introduced the two teams, like Kansas City Chiefs or whoever it may be. And you have, you know, like Ron Perlman, I think, sometimes does voiceovers for UFC. For Fury Wilder 3, one of the biggest boxing matches of the decade, I think it's fair to say, They got Big E to introduce both men to shout Bomb Squad and talk about Fury being a gypsy king. Surely WWE will realise what they've got on their hands now in that mouthpiece. I mean, granted, that was scripted, so maybe WWE is slightly justified. But just don't give him some crap verbiage to do in this face-to-face joust with Drew McIntyre.
Big E's always had the balls to just, when given rubbish material, and Jesus Christ, for a guy with so much star power potential, they've given him some rubbish. Old Day, etc., etc. Doctor, were they the doctors or the club the doctors?
The club with the doctors.
Pathetic.
Because they had these balls in a jar. What did they? What else might have had in his jar?
His cack.
Yeah.
Look, he can tell you without saying as much, this material sucks. Sometimes he's outright said it. Like, I've gotten very few concerns that they're going to make Big E look like a tit here. The more prominent of my concerns is that they're going to make him look generic in this pretty dry babyface versus babyface build, but we'll see.
They've got 2 weeks. They've got this week and next week, and then we're already at Crown Jewel by Thursday. It's a great potential matchup. Just don't screw it up. It's not difficult, is it?
I mean, it's probably going to be not very good because it's in Saudi Arabia. I mean, they're just...
The card for Saudi Arabia does look amazing right now.
It's sort of Brock Lesnar versus Ricochet. That looked like one of the best Brock Lesnar matches. We all know the goddamn crack. He works better against performers of that ilk. And it sucked because it was a 2-minute squash. But it's there's something about the atmosphere and the sentiment surrounding these shows that it. Then again, they have said they want to make it more canonized, mm-hmm. and they want to make it feel more like something fans should give a toss about. So maybe, just maybe, the subtext behind that is we will not work it like we're on a goddamn European tour, which is to say, just do it in a lower gear because these fans are less hard to impress than the Americans we tour in front of more frequently.
Well, I'll wait and see what happens with E and Drew McIntyre, and instead talk about what one would assume is going to be the main event of the evening. It's a sensational match on paper, a match of the year candidate, I might say.
On.
But
away.
The story is, can they coexist? It's
have you just asked me or told me this is a match of the air candidate because you've got a bullet point saying match of the air candidate?
No, I haven't actually.
Good, because it won't be that good.
But I mean, on paper, it is a match of the year candidate. It's just...
Is it? Charlotte Flair's been quite inconsistent this year.
Yeah, that's fair. Charlotte's teaming with Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair on the other side of things. And the question is, I mean, can they coexist?
Well, which tag team are you referring to? Because in this case, it's both. So is it both?
Yeah, both. Can both teams coexist?
Well, remind me of the teams.
Becky and Charlotte, Sasha and Bianca.
But Becky and Charlotte are like eternal rivals who hate each other and they've been feuding with one another since about 2018, off and on.
And next month we'll be facing each other if things stay as they are with brand warfare, etc.
Indeed. So they probably can't coexist. Just a hunch. And Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair are currently embroiled in a feud, so we know they don't like each other. They were telling us that they don't like one another on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we know why this match exists. It exists to get a load of names in one match. It exists to build towards the triple threat match upcoming at Crown Jewel. We know this is what WWE does. You could have Sasha Banks at a most creative. I love her cut-off spots. They're so fantastic. You could have her at her most creative. You could have Bianca Belair hoist all three women when it is revealed that she and Sasha Banks, in fact, can't coexist. So she decides to do a three-stack kiss of death.
Ooh.
You could do all of this amazing, cool stuff. And Michael Cole is going to ruin it by constantly asking me if they can coexist before it all breaks down. I'll get pissed off. Honestly, the commentary's so bad. Everything about WWE's presentation so bad. I remember, man, this is a bit of an incidental tangent. But when Danielson and Punk, when the rumours were circulating in that magical period before they actually did turn up in AEW, when every other mark, and I'm including myself in that group, every other mark basically was like, right, I'm going on the network. I'm going to fire up my favourite Daniel Bryan and CM Punk matches to get hyped. And then I made it through about one of each, and I thought, you know what, I'm listening to Grisham and Cole on commentary, and I can't do this, so I'm just going to watch the matches in ROH instead.
Yeah, I foresee in this one Becky going to the corner to get the tag and Charlotte Flair hopping down and going, "No, I'm sure you got this handled. I thought you were the man, aren't you?" She walks out, and then maybe Becky turns around into a KOD, into a backstabber by Sasha Banks. And then my concern along with that is Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair win, and for some reason Bianca Belair forgets everything that's happened in the past with her and Sasha Banks and celebrates with her, only to get wrecked by Sasha again because she has to stand tall.
So just to clarify, because you said a lot of words there, you are booking a scenario in which several of these women look like idiots.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how we'll do it.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Elsewhere on this show, we have more matches in the King of the Ring tournament and the Queen's Crown tournament. I will get it right eventually. Let's start with King of the Ring and whether or not WWE will actually let are and specifically his dreams come true with one Xavier Woods. He is facing Ricochet tonight. Ricochet soon to be drafted, of course, to SmackDown, hopefully get a fresh start. So in theory, he could lose here and he wouldn't lose any of his shine.
Well, I'm watching the shows on telly. Like, it's not as if one of them's a house show. It's not as if he's leaving the territory to go to a different territory.
He has been made to look pretty good on Raw, that's all I'm saying.
Look, my God. This is another match where it's like, if this company could just book competently and with consistency, and I was allowed to invest in the trajectory of both men subsequent to it, I wouldn't be an arsehole. I wouldn't be a miserable, cynical prick about it. I would be, like, hyped, because I think, under the right circumstances, these two men can work magic together. And we might, in fact, see some glimpses of it. Like, Xavier Woods is sorely underrated as a babyface. Ricochet is so talented that he can literally book like the tosspot geek that he is and still, within the context of a pro wrestling match, get over and make people lose their minds because he's so awesome. This will be, at best, great in the moment.
Mm.
At worst, a crowd conditioned to not take a guy like Ricochet seriously as a star or as someone who might do something cool in the future. They'll sit on their hands until the good stuff, and by the time the good stuff comes, it might be too late to get the reaction these two could clearly work towards if they just had anything competent going on in their creative.
Do you think Xavier Woods could reach the final of the King of the Ring, though?
I'll say one thing. It's cool that he's in it, or is it cruel, because Liv Morgan was in the Queen's Crown.
Mm.
What a stupid title, incidentally. You know what? Even as I complete that thought, it just makes no sense. I was going to say that if they called it Queen of the Ring, right, they could have some of the nearly there. If you're generous through osmosis, the King of the Ring still has a certain prestige. Like, I don't think about Barrett and Sheamus. I think about Brett, Owen, Austin, as someone like Xavier Woods does. By calling it Queen of the Ring, they could have just lent on the prestige and got the tournament over as something prestigious before it happened. And you could call it whatever name you want. They're still doing two opening round matches that are going 3 minutes, 40 seconds. I've said before, Xavier Woods needs to aim higher than a rebooted King of the Ring that never means anything like it did in the 90s, because I think it's a misplaced ambition. I think he can do a lot more, but it personally means a lot to him, and it's something that he's in the tournament as a predominant tag team guy. So yes, I'm going with Xavier Woods, even though they're not very nice to the guys usually, are they, WWE? So they might just be knobs.
You and I booked on the SmackDown preview last week the potential of the Mysterios facing each other in the later rounds of this tournament. I'll be honest, I was anticipating a longer tournament than quarterfinal, semifinal, final, because you've got, what, 10 hours to fill before Crown Jewel, so why not put on more matches? But yeah, they hate tournaments. Despite the fact I love them and they're really easy.
Why do they do them? I don't know.
They organically create storylines, but yeah, whatever. We booked the Mysterious facing each other. That's not happening. But on that side of things, you've got Xavier Woods versus Ricochet and also Kofi Kingston versus Jinder Mahal. Now, I know Xavier Woods versus Jinder Mahal would be a heel versus a babyface, but is there a chance we could get Kofi versus Xavier in the semis? Because I do think that's a genuinely intriguing prospect.
It's a one-off exhibition that, as the graduating drama really starts to accelerate and a few shortcuts are taken, a few looks of betrayal are exchanged, and it starts to really become this fight, that could build to something great. You can imagine that Xavier and Kofi would kind of want to work together just once. I know all three members of the New Day are on record saying, don't break us up. People love the fact that we're still together. Even if we're not completely like booked as a unit, it's cool that we can be the faction that just stays friends and can reunite whenever. And it adds a little bit of believability and consistency to everything we do just by virtue of being in this loosely affiliated unit. All that being said, as I just said, there's enormous dramatic potential to do an exhibition that turns a little bit ugly between them, after which they can just shake hands. You could just have, and this word has been bastardized like so much is in WWE, they could simply have the moment of a really hot, emotional, unpredictable, different match that matters to one person's career, I guess, if they become the King of the Ring in the aftermath. But if nothing else, it's just a match with a different tenor to it than most things that we see in WWE. So for those reasons, yes, I would like Kofi and Xavier on a one-off basis. I don't want either of these people to play heel.
No.
Then again, you know what? I've said this before. WWE gives you so few talking points and no reason at all to discuss things that might happen in the future without sort of a lens of cynicism. Like I've said in the past, like Kofi realistically could play an amazing heel, but I like the New Day being a thing forever.
Yeah, and I don't want Jinder Mahal on my TV any more than he absolutely has to be. So him losing in the effectively first round, but also quarterfinals of this tournament is fine by me. I'd have Kofi beat Jinder tonight and then, yeah, have that moment. I mean, not necessarily of realization, they can tell, but just that moment backstage of, well, looks like it's me versus you next week, shake hands. And if you want to go even further, because I think this might actually intrigue some people. Maybe you were quite casual. Kofi versus Xavier for a spot at the finals of the King of the Ring tournament. And to make sure it's called down the middle, Big E's pulling on the referee jumper.
I mean, you could just get someone who knows how to do the job. Nah. I hate the special referee thing. But he would be...
In this scenario, yes.
In this scenario, like, Big E could be the one good special referee there's ever been, and that is Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 28, where he actually enhances the drama of the match, makes the result, the improbable result, feel like it's actually going to happen in the moment. Yeah, that was an awesome performance from Michaels. Big E could genuinely get across the idea of, come on, lads, don't take it too far. I still like the boys together, all the rest of it. Yeah, I love that idea, Wilbon. Mm. Watch them not do it.
And, well, this is the bit where I sell them on it, not sell you, so I know you're going to hate this.
I can't be sold on anything, mate.
But he can't work out how it should work, this. He's like, what am I meant to do? And they're like, you're meant to count to three. And he's like, what? And they're like, one pancake, two pancake, three pancakes. And there you go. There's that selling it to Vince. Because pancake stuff. And then you can have pancakes with numbers on them to sell on the fucking shop, you greedy bastard. What are we talking about? Oh, yeah. Queen's Crown Tournament. Let's switch over to the other one because elsewhere in there, we've also got Doudrop versus Natalya. Skip. Oh, no, sorry. We're not.
I haven't seen it yet.
We haven't seen the match yet. Doudrop wins, doesn't she? Because Natalya can't put a sharpshooter on.
It's my favourite bit in maybe what culture history. Adam Wilbourn, who's genuinely enthusiastic, and that's a rare thing, genuine enthusiasm, can get hyped and psyched about the goddamn running bit about Dominic and Rey Mysterio.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And you cannot bring yourself to feign enthusiasm about literally anything Natalya's ever done.
No. We've been round and round with this so many times. And I know...
She's been in it like, what, like 11 years?
Easy, yeah. And I just... She's done everything. Everything. She farted, for Christ's sake, for a bit. Just, like... I mean, it's obvious, isn't it? Well, then again, it was obvious on SmackDown. You have Liv Morgan win, and you have Toni Storm win. And there you go. It's a great semi-final there. Two people getting elevated. No. Carmella and Zelina Vega, who can't stop losing. They've won. And then here, you go, well, you got Doudrop, and you got Shayna Baszler, and they had a thing last week. So it'll probably be Dana Brooke versus Natalya in the semi-final for all... I know.
So just to be clear, if you don't want Natalya to win, you want...
Doudrop.
Yeah, me too, because Natalya's really boring.
Yeah.
Is that right? She has these weird moments where she kind of just stops.
I've just realised Eva Marie's going to come back and Natalya's going to win. We're going to have to watch another match.
Eva Marie's going to cost...
Doudrop.
Yeah.
But I don't want that. I want Shayna Baszler versus Doudrop in the semi-final because I want Shayna Baszler to win the whole thing because, let's be honest, it's on this side of the bracket to win the whole thing, isn't it? Carmella and Zelina Vega aren't winning this, are they?
And she's a queen of stomach.
Got a card. What's she going to do to Dana Brooke? I'm so excited for this tonight because Dana Brooke thought last week, you know how to beat a UFC fighter? Grappling.
Whatever Dana Brooke does, like, I really hope that Corey Graves... here's the thing, they made a thing about it last week, and people online talked about it to a degree, and it was incredibly exhausting. So Corey Graves, who loves to exhaust people, is going to do something again in terms of burying Dana Brooke, and people are going to talk about it in bad faith again. Like, certain bits of online discourse, like, who can be arsed? I remember Chelsea Green art theft discourse. The thing is, you don't have to talk about everything. If there's a bit of discourse that you don't have to have a take on everything, just ignore it. It'll go away.
You're 100% right, though. I mean, I want Shayna Baszler to snap Dana Brooke's arm in half because I want her, because she's on this tear right now. You're telling me there's a chance that she might become world champion and everything's going to be all right again. But you're 100% spot on. Never mind all that bollocks. There was a brief discussion last week. So they're going to go, Dana, I want you to go up top. Go for a crossbody and Shayna just not be there or duck out the way so that bloody Corey Graves can go, that was wank, right, on the commentary. And then there's just another week of chat about WWE and socials talking about us, even if the rating keeps dwindling.
Yeah, the specter of engagement haunts us all.
Mm.
And, yeah.
It's a weird one this week, isn't it, Raw, in terms of the fact that it's not the week of Crown Jewels, so there's not going to be any Goldberg or anything like that. It's just spinning the wheels this week, and this is what we're getting as a result of it all.
At least there's a few matches we've not seen, like...
Mm. I'll probably run them back next week, let's be honest.
The extent of my... But the thing with tournaments is, like by the very nature of tournament, to get matches that we haven't seen. Actually, no, we've got Leia Livermore versus Carmella, so suck my cat.
Right, let us know your thoughts ahead of tonight's episode of Money Arrow on Twitter.
Is that literally it?
We've done it, yeah. I can't be bothered to talk about anymore or anything else. There's nothing else, nothing else previewed. There's nothing else advertised. You know what? Bollocks to him.
Look, Xavier Woods versus Ricochet could biggity bang.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So hopefully.
Give him time.
And then, you know, the women's main event as well. I'm just dreading the commentary.
Yes, as we all are every week. And also I'm intrigued to see more Austin Theory being a dick to legends, which was quite enjoyable on Raw last week. But let us know your thoughts ahead of Monday Night Raw tonight on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
Sidgwick.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Got the SmackDown review and the Rampage review out earlier on today. And tomorrow, of course, our Raw review will be out. And if you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling and leave us a 5-star review on there, you can suggest something short, crap, and wrestling related for us to review instead of Natalia's match. So let us know on iTunes what that is. But for now, this has been the Raw Preview. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.